All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks are doing a local podcast. Good morning. It is October 16th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is awesome wherever you are at. Definitely chilly, cold, windy, but still beautiful. Got up this morning, supposed to go for a paddle, and it was too windy. Weather was not good, so we decided to walk the land as a group, walk the beach around the cove, around the point, and just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. Super grateful with everything that's going on in the world. Whew, just really grateful to have, luckily, just a little slice of peace. Hope everybody can find it, but it was a beautiful morning. And so finally, the cold is winding down. It's been, tomorrow will be 1 week of cold. I do feel better. Sound a little weird, but I'm good. It's all good. I feel like now I'm sort of free from catching a cold for a while, which is perfect because this is a tough time of year with cold and flu season, and I got a work season, so... But anyway, it is Monday. Typically, I do not paddle on a Monday, but due to schedules and the way things have been, I signed up to paddle today because I could, and I won't be able to on Wednesday. I got a big doctor's appointment, physical, my yearly. And so I tried. Great day anyway, though. Got to hang out with a buddy of mine who is in recovery, and we chatted, had a great chat. And, you know, it's you know, I don't know if I've talked about this, but this guy, buddy of mine, he reached out and asked me if I'd be a sponsor. And I was like, of course, sure, yes. And then things got a little, I don't know, you know how we are. Who knows what's going to happen next, right? And certain things happened, and I just was like, you know what, man, I'm not sponsoring people right now. It's just, I just don't feel like it, right? I just don't feel like dealing with it. And I don't know if that's the right thing. I know that what's most important is my sanity and my serenity. And having said that, I sort of got ghosted and hadn't talked to him. I'm sure, you know, I don't know, maybe he was mad at me, maybe he wasn't, I don't know. But ran into him this morning at the beach, and we ended up chatting. And I told him, I said, listen, man, I don't really think I'm a great sponsor, right? I don't really know how to be a sponsor. I've sponsored many people. I don't know who's had success and who hasn't. But what I do know is that every time it comes to the part where you're supposed to like give great advice, I don't know if I have any. My advice has always been don't drink, go to a meeting every day, and try to read these steps, right? Work with another alcoholic, and just don't drink and go to a lot of meetings and just hope, right? Pray, hope and pray that we get it. And that's exactly what I did. There is no magic. I just don't feel like being disappointed right now. And it's a little selfish on my part, but I take this very seriously. I take getting sober very seriously. And when I sit down and chat with somebody, it's from the heart, right? It's not like, I'm not doing lip service, right? These are really true feelings that have come to me through recovery and time and things that I've learned. And, you know, so when I sit down and I try to at least give some of my experience, strength, and hope, and then when somebody goes back out and drinks, it's annoying. And so a little selfish, right? But, you know, like I had said, I don't like the disappointment. And it's a lot of, you know, if you sponsor people, you know, there's a lot of disappointment. Some people get it. But it was great for me and him to get together today and chat. And I said, listen, I don't need to be your sponsor, but we can talk every day. We can go to a lot of meetings. We can, you know, I can share. I just don't know if I want the title, right? I just don't know if I want that responsibility. And it's not a huge responsibility. And in fact, part of the reason I said I didn't want to be a sponsor because I was a little annoyed, right, that this person had kind of gone back out. Right, I seem to think that if I decide I'm going to be your sponsor and that I'm going to sit down and give you all my words of wisdom, that at the least you could do is get sober. read the words of that song. Please forgive our hometown and our own insignificance. Interesting. That is Pearl Jam. Yeah, so I'm starting to feel better. It is weird. Not like anybody's never had a cold, but it is strange when I get a cold because, you know, physically I get a little off. Mentally I get a little off, right? I didn't go to a meeting all week last week because I didn't want to get anybody sick, right? So I hadn't gone, and I finally got to a meeting on Saturday, which is kind of this this meeting that I've been going to. I've gone to, over the years, it used to actually be my home group, and it's a great meeting. The problem is it's just down in Rehoboth, so the traffic and the amount of people that are down there now is just, it's completely inconvenient to go to that meeting, definitely in the summer. There's not a chance in hell. But I do like it, right? And so I did go, I went back to the meeting a couple of weeks ago, and then I went back to it again on Saturday, and it was on the fourth step, and it was great. Sat down and read the fourth step, which was interesting because a lot of times, a lot of meetings will split the fourth step in the reading because it's pretty long. And for some reason, we didn't, so we read the whole fourth step, and which was great. But when I shared, because it was only like four of us, so we really had to, everyone, you know, you didn't have to, but I tried to share, you know, at least what my experience, strength and hope, right, on the fourth step. And, you know, what I'm learning or learned or have always known but forget, that these steps are awesome, right? The fourth step is awesome, but it's awesome after the third, right, which is awesome after the second, which is awesome after the first, right? There's this transformation that takes place, right? And me and my buddy that I just, you know, I met down at the beach, we ended up coming back up here and having lunch, and we chatted, and because he's sort of struggling, right? And, you know, what I told him today and what I still sort of believe is, like, the first five steps to me is really just like this project. And this is my opinion. You do and work these steps however, whatever works for you that keeps you sober and serene, right? You're, what you do is what's important. But for him and I to chat, you know, and my thoughts and what I've learned over this pretty big chunk of time of being sober and working on it is that, you know, the first five steps for me are really this, like changing who I am, right? You know, I've shared before, you know, I came into the program as a victim of alcoholism. As a victim, I looked at every one of these steps in a completely different manner, right? But after drinking and losing everything and finally crawling back into this program and realizing that it's a gift and please forgive me, I'm sorry I disrespected this program, please take me back, I'm sorry. And to get back into this program and realize that I look at everything in such a different way, right? And what I shared with him today is that, you know, the biggest one is this spiritual awakening, right? You know, I believe that all of my problems are a spiritual malady. You know, I'm either on the devil's side or I'm on God's side. And I have for so long been on the devil's side. You know, I listen to the lower power. I behave on lower power ideas, right? I hang out with lower power kind of people. I do lower power kind of stuff. And what does that mean? As a self-centered person, I choose things that serve self. Right, but I didn't come into the program and realize that. I've documented it many times that, you know, when Matt asked me to come to that party and I asked him to change the whole party, and he said, I'm going to change the whole party just because you can't go, a little switch flipped off and went, God damn, that does sound terrible. Right, all of a sudden, the curtain got pulled back and the self-centered side of me was revealed, and all I could do was stare at it. Right, and so just understanding, that was the first revelation, really. And then understanding this revelation, which is, I've never had a relationship with a higher power. How can I? How can I have a relationship with a higher power if I'm so self-centered? They don't go together, right? They just don't. That's like ice water and boiling water. They just don't go together. They make a muted, weird version of the both of them, right, that nobody can do anything with. And that's sort of what was going on with me. You know, I had, you know, what I thought and then the reality, and I couldn't quite get them together. So it just made it this mute, blah version of myself that I couldn't really move forward from. And so understanding that I had no relationship, so just starting to basically wipe the whole whiteboard or the chalkboard clean and just start adding little things that I'm learning about myself. And that would have been the first one. You are self-centered. So what's the opposite? A person that helps others, a person that puts others before themselves, a person that, you know, cares, right? Is considerate, thoughtful, right? Has a humble position, right? Hey, can I help? Do you need help? Hey, I saw you struggling. Do you need help? Where the other person, the self-centered guy, lower power is like, I ain't got time to help that guy. I'm not going to inconvenience myself to help somebody else, right? But that's how my whole life was. And I would have sprinklings of helping. You know, I'm not a fucking a complete evil person. But when it came to sticky subjects like using, partying, going out, chasing women, whatever it was, I chose the devil side. At the cost of everybody, right? To my parents, my employer, right? That was my... I just, when it comes time to make that choice, I serve self. I live a life of self-will. I didn't know that, right? And so when I started to understand that, and like in the third step, and like I was telling my buddy today, you know, I've lived on the left side, that dark, the dark side, right? We turn our will and our lives over the care of a higher power. What that just means is we just have better thoughts, and we have, and the outcome is better. Better thinking, better actions, better will, better lives. And I'm like, well, so if I'm doing the opposite so that I'm living more of a self-centered side, so that's more of a lower power, so that's more devil, right? So I'm building a relationship for this whole time with the lower power. If I just start making better choices and have better actions, I'm making a choice to have a relationship with a higher power. I'm going to write that down, right? So I'm just starting to put this together. Right, and nowhere in there did I find that if I stopped and said, Dear Lord, can you fix this? Dear Lord, will you fix this? Dear Lord, fix this. And not got a response, I could have easily gone a different direction, but I didn't choose to do that. It wasn't, that was old Tom's relationship with whatever higher power or spirituality I thought I had. I'm not going to do that. I'm not repeating that shit over. Right. And so it's just this relearning and not reading, right? Just feeling, you know, going through the day, making choices, feeling how they feel, right? Trying to stay centered on the beam. And so my message to him today was like, you know, the first five steps are really, to me, was a project. You know, I did that. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, their lives have become unmanageable. I mean, I looked at that in a completely different light than I do today. You know, I'm like, of course my life's unmanageable. I get caught at this all the time. I'm always in trouble. Someone's always mad at me. It's not that I'm unmanageable. My life had become inconvenient, right? I was managing it, but it had become inconvenient. The unmanageability was everybody around me, right? But I, at the time when I came in, I couldn't see that. What do you mean my parents have an issue? My boss has an issue. The neighbors have an issue. The people that live upstairs, Uncle Mike has an issue. All these people, I was making their lives inconvenient, right? My life had become unmanageable to them. So even when I came in on the first day, I read that step and had it in a completely different light, right? And then the second step, you know, came to believe, which means came to believe means over time, right? So I told him today, and what I told myself, let's put a pin in that. We read it, we see it, we know about it, right? And then the third step, turned our will and our lives over to the care of a higher power, or a God as we understand him, one of the two, something like that, higher power or something. Changing our will, right, and our thinking into the light. It had been in the darkness. And then the fourth step, that moral inventory. I was unaware of any of my bullshit. This is a great tool just to be, it's sort of like the ninth step, really, where we made a list of all the people we had harmed. You know, it's not that's what I do today, but it is shows what I'm capable of, right? It does show me what I am until I realize that I have to become accountable, right? Because that's what the fourth step was for me, was learning to be accountable, right? I had blamed everybody and everything for all of my problems for so long that the fourth step allowed me to look at each situation, right? The list. We make a list of all the our moral list, right? And we take a look at it and we figure out, you know, like Mr. Jones, you know, we become accountable because if I continue to blame everybody else for all my problems, I'm just stuck there. I'm never getting better. I am a victim or a volunteer, right? Victim or a volunteer. If I'm a volunteer, means I'm choosing to stay there. Like, I know what my problem is. I know that it's I played a role in it, but I'm going to ignore that, and I'm just going to volunteer to stay in this position of never getting better. You know, a lot of people, when you come into, when I came into this program as a guy that had to, this was a list of all of my bad things. This was a list of all of the bad shit that everybody had been saying about me my whole life. But when I came in as a person that gets to, this was a list of things that I can change, right? I can understand, I can recognize, I can clean them up. I can become accountable, I can figure out the role that I played. And then in the, you know, into the when we get to come back and make that the list of all the people we'd harm and we get to make amends, I can use this, I can use that to clean this up. But if I can't make this list, I can't clean anything up. And I'm just stuck there. And so, like, I told him, this first five steps for me, and this is my opinion, my thought, do what you want, right? Do whatever you want to do. But my message to him was, let's just take these first five steps and just treat them as one big project, right? Let's do them. But that doesn't mean that after our fourth step, we may look back at the third step and go, wow, I'm starting to understand that a little better, right? Or we may do the fourth and fifth step, and then we look back at the second or the first step and go, wow, I thought that was different, right? So they're never finished, at least not for me. I mean, I've said this several times. I have had a revelation about the third step that I never had had before. Turn our will and our lives over the care of, what is it? I want to make sure I said that right. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God as we understand him, right? Forever I was like, okay, that sounds good. Next step. Yeah, made a decision to turn our will. But what I really thought that meant is that I have to start going to church, right? I have to start carrying a Bible. And so I sort of lost interest because the devil side of me is like, we're not doing that. We're not going to do that. Let's go to the next one, right? But after I... You know, and it's taken me years to get to through these steps. I mean, I've done them, but it's taken me years of being sober, of drinking, coming back, working through it, listening to these voices, turning the voices away, having conversations, and then being able to come back and reflect on these steps and realize now I'm starting to understand. It's like an open book for me. But it's, you know, and like I told him today, it's always been about willingness. Willingness, willingness, willingness. Willingness, what's that mean? Hey, can you help? I'm willing, let's go. Right? Hey, we're going to go clean the beach. I'm willing, let's help. Right? Are you willing? Or, hey, we're going to go clean the beach. I guess. What does the I guess guy do? He might pick up a thing, right? He might walk along, right? But he's just there. But when you're willing, you're getting the bag, right? Because that's what we did today. That's why it's on my mind. We walked the beach and picked up trash. And I did not pick up any trash. I didn't realize we were picking up trash. Or we sort of got separated because half the group went through this water to the next part of the sand. I actually wore sneakers and socks. So I was like, I'm just going to walk back. They ended up picking up trash. I think that's awesome. I was unaware. But, you know, if I had known... Right. But I didn't go out there to pick up trash. Right. I went out there for a nice walk. We actually ran the beach. They decided to pick up trash halfway through, which is awesome. I wasn't as willing. I would have probably rather say, hey, we're going to get a group of guys and girls together to go pick up trash on the beach. And I would have been like, oh, okay. And I'd had to find some willingness. Right. It's not my favorite thing to do. Definitely important. You know, we love the beach. We respect it. I try to treat it like I treat my own home. I do not leave trash on the beach. So, but yes, the point is that I would have been less willing, but I probably would have done it, right? But the whole point is that these five steps are really, to me, just a continuous work in progress, right? And then you get into the sixth and seventh step, you know, where we start really looking at our behavior, our character, you know, our character defects. And then we start to find humility. Six and seven, I think, to me, you know, when they talk about in the Drop the Rock book, drop the rock, Mary, you're going to drown, you know, and all the people are on the boat. They're going from, I don't know where they must be coming from, Sober Island, Sober Island, but they're headed to Serenity Island. And that's when you start to realize there is more to this program than being sober. AA didn't get me sober. Getting punched in the mouth on Rehoboth Avenue, March 31st, 1997, made me stop drinking. This book and these programs and these people and these meetings and these steps have taught me how to find serenity. And for me, serenity is the foundation, the voice, the conversation that I have when it comes to these certain situations that make me think that a drink might be something I want to do. I fall and lean on serenity for that. And serenity teaches me now. That's the devil talking right there, right? There is nothing that would improve in your life if you drank, right? Despite what that devil's telling you. And I learned that all from serenity. I find peace. And like I was telling my buddy, in the fifth step, it starts to mention it. Sober and peace of mind. There's some magic shit that happens on the fifth step, if you can get to it, right? If you can get to it with some humility, not as a victim, right? The other thing that's interesting is that I went to a meeting last night. And it's a promises meeting. I've shared about the promises. I've spoke at this meeting, in fact. And when I spoke at the meeting, I spoke on the promise, because the you know, the idea is you come in, you pick a promise, and you share on it, right? And I spoke on intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. I've been to the meeting several times. Every time I go to the meeting, the promise that people always speak on is intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. And I went to the meeting last night, and the lady spoke on intuitively know how to handle the situations that used to baffle us. It's fucking very, it's baffling, right? To me, Tom, this step or this promise came true in my life when I started to become accountable, started to take responsibility for my actions and my behaviors and for everything that's, you know, realizing everything that's happened to me in my life, I played a role in. You know, I've shared before, crashing my car into that pole or into the sign next to the on-ramp at the freeway in San Diego, wrapping my car around that bitch and jumping out and say, who put a fucking pole here or a sign? Who's the asshole to put the sign here? Right? Getting punched in the mouth. Why would that asshole do that to me? Right? Getting punched in March 31st, 1997. Why would that guy do that? Right? I'm an asshole. I played a role in it. But for a long time, I was a victim. And when you're a victim, you can't have serenity. Sorry. You can't. I remember, you know, well, so I don't want to jump too many stories here. Well, I will say, I remember when, and I've seen this happen, but like somebody, you'll see a murder trial, somebody kills somebody's family or kills their son or daughter, right? And then the victims have an opportunity to, you know, have a victim statement and, you know, speak it to the judge. I don't know if it's to, you know, help get a worse sentence. I don't know. You know, I mean, I understand what it's for, but typically I think it's to really hammer home that this guy is a fucking piece of shit. And I've seen people get up and say, listen, I forgive you. I forgive you because if I don't, I cannot heal. And I'm not going to allow you to make me into another victim. So for that, I forgive you. Doesn't mean I don't think you should go to jail for the rest of your life, son. But I forgive you because I'm going to move on. I'm not going to live in this place. And I have always thought that I'm like, how could you do that, right? How could that be possible? How can you forgive somebody for what they've done? Because they don't want to be a fucking miserable victim the rest of their life in the mud and never be able to move on, right? And that's sort of what alcohol does to us, right? We become that victim. But what I thought was interesting last night is that the lady shared, she did a nice job. She, you know, did a great, good job. And but everybody that spoke talked about how they started to intuitively know how to handle other situations that used to baffle them, other people's problems. And I was like, so is that what this is about? Is it intuitively know how to handle other people's situations that used to baffle me? Because that's not what I took from it. Now, I may be wrong. But to me, this was about intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle me that happened to me. That I used to be like, why did that happen to me? You know, I used to be the guy with the worst luck. You got such, my mom, Septembers are bad luck for you, Tommy. September, you and Septembers just don't get along. It's September's fault. Thank God, because I didn't want to start taking responsibility. But through this program, right, the 6th and 7th step, we start to become accountable, right? We find the humility. We figure out our character defects. We start to reshape ourselves. We start to want to find serenity. And, you know, carrying a rock around, you know, blaming other people for shit that I used to do that I should have taken the blame for myself, that's a rock that we carry. That's the kind of shit that drowns you from going from Sober Island to Serenity Island. You have to drop that rock. You have to figure out. I had to figure out the role that I played. And surprisingly, shocking, I played a role in everything. Everything that's ever happened to me, I played a role in. You know, I remember being as a little kid, I was driving on Tramway Avenue in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for some reason, I must have been 16 years old, and I was driving, and I had this thought that everything that I see out of these eyes, or how can I explain it? I just had this like this moment where I was like, you know, everything I see, I'm here. Like, it was just this weird moment. Like I'm wherever I am at, I am at. Whatever I am seeing, I'm here. Right? These eyes will see and I will compute and, you know, figure out whatever it is, the data that comes in through these eyes for my whole life. Right? This thing, me seeing and dealing with whatever's in front of me, will be a problem I have for my whole life, right? And when I started to understand that, as soon as I, you know, about the accountability and realizing that, you know, that I play a role and all this shit is my own fault, the solution was real easy. Stop doing dumb shit, right? Stop being self-centered. Stop living a life of self-will. It's ridiculous. I don't know. I'm a big fan of that meeting. I love the promises. I think that they play a important role when you get to the 9th step. Oh, well. Let me see here. Let me see if I can read quick daily reflections and get out of here. It's a great day. I'm glad I'm feeling better. I get back to work tomorrow. There's nothing worse. I was telling somebody that I had to take a half day off on Friday because I just couldn't hide it anymore. I just couldn't hide my sickness. Like, I could take some Advil, use some nose spray. I could be fairly okay till about 3, and then all that shit starts wearing off, and my nose gets stuffy, and then, you know, the fact is I'm just sick, and I'm just tired of hiding that, right? That was one of the things, you know, about being addicted and being on drugs is just hiding it, you know? The problem with that is it's written all over you, right? It's written all over you. Daily reflections. I'm going to probably go 2 minutes long. I apologize. October 16th, throughout each day. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 84. During my early years in AA, I saw step 10 as a suggestion that I periodically look at my behavior and reactions. If there was something wrong, I should admit it. If an apology was necessary, I should give one. And after a few years of sobriety, I felt I should undertake a self-examination more frequently. Not until several more years of sobriety had elapsed did I realize the full meaning of step 10. And then the word continued. Continued does not mean occasionally or frequently. It means throughout each day. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I love that. After a few years. That's what I'm saying. It's never... I mean, for me at least, you know, I didn't do step one and draw a line through and say, I won't see you again. It's always, I'm reflecting on everything, always looking at it. They're always, you know, it's just constantly sort of changing, you know, or I'm changing, or I'm recognizing more. The step is the step. I'm the one that has to change. The step isn't going to change. I'm the one that has to do the changing. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. I love being sober, and I hope you do too. Later. Gonna let it play.